Every spring, most Christians celebrate Easter in commemoration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Jesus, of course, never observed Easter, but there was a series of special holy days Jesus did observe when he walked the earth. These days included the Passover and a week called the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Do these special days of worship observed by Jesus Christ have any relevance to his followers today? These are the headlines. In a moment, we're going to look at the important news behind the headlines.
Welcome to the Good News Program, presented by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. The Good News doesn't try to cover up today's problems. This is a program that dares to look at today's dilemmas and ask the questions that must be asked. It seeks the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered from the pages of your Bible. Please join Gary Petty for a discussion of today's Good News subject.
For most of us, bread is an unheralded side dish of our everyday diet. In much of the Western world, meals are centered around meat, pasta, or casseroles, and unless we're eating a sandwich, bread is an afterthought. Now, this wasn't true of the Middle Eastern cultures of biblical times, or in some non-Western cultures today. In ancient Israel, meals were a special communal time when family and friends would gather around a mat laid out on the floor on which was placed meat and vegetable dishes. Each person would tear a piece of bread from a small loaf or thin round chunk and use the bread as spoons to scoop from the various dishes. This is why the Bible speaks of people eating a meal as breaking bread. In Judea during Roman times, couches and a low table replaced the mats, but the meal was basically eaten in the same manner. Bread was made from all different kinds of grains, including wheat, barley, millet, or even beans and lentils. Loaves were prepared by mixing flour with water and kneading it in troughs or bowls made of leather, wood, or cloth. Now, depending upon where a person lived or how wealthy they were, bread would be baked on hot sand or flat stones over a fire, or on a griddle or round flat pan, or an oven made of bronze, iron, or more commonly, of clay. Since bread was baked daily, the easiest way to leaven it was to save a lump of leavened dough from the previous day. This lump would be added to the dough and left to stand until the leavening process had permeated the entire batch. Now, the leavening process is a fascinating process. A leavening agent, which causes air bubbles to form, is introduced into the batch of dough. This leavening agent, usually a type of yeast, permeates every cell of the dough until the entire batch is leavened. One small particle of leavening can change a large amount of dough. Every spring, there was a series of special observances in ancient Israel in which bread took on a religious significance. It was called the Feast of Unleavened Bread. We find in the Old Testament that the Israelites were commanded by God not to eat leavened bread during this 7-day period. Now, do observances of an ancient people have any meaning to Christians today? Many say that Christians live by the teachings of the New Testament and pay little attention to the Hebrew Scriptures, or what we call the Old Testament. Few realize that the early New Testament church also observed the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Get your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians. Here the Apostle Paul is writing to a predominantly non-Jewish congregation. In verses 6 and 7, he uses leavening as a symbol of human pride and vanity. Paul writes, "Now listen, your glorying is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Therefore, purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you are truly unleavened. For indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us." Paul obviously understood the leavening process and applies it here to the human condition. In verse 1, Paul tells the Corinthians that they are puffed up. Remember, leavening fills dough with air bubbles. Now, how many times have you heard the saying that a person who is preoccupied with their self is filled with hot air? Now, let's go back and notice verse 8 here in 1 Corinthians. Paul says, "Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." What feast is Paul writing about? Since the only scriptures the early church possessed were what we call the Old Testament, and they shunned pagan practices, this reference is to the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Coupled with the Feast of Unleavened Bread is the Passover. In ancient Israel, the Passover was an annual sacrifice when a lamb was offered to commemorate how the death angel passed over the firstborn of the Israelites back when they were slaves in Egypt. Here Paul calls Jesus Christ our Passover. The references to this time of the Feast of Unleavened Bread are unmistakable. Now, Jesus also used leavening as a symbol of false teachings. Notice what he says to his disciples in Matthew 16. Let's start in verse 6. It says, "Then Jesus said to them, 'Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees.' And they," the disciples, "reasoned among themselves, saying, 'Is it because we have taken no bread?' But Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, 'O you of little faith, why do you reason among yourselves because you have brought no bread? Do you not yet understand or remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up, nor the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many large baskets you took up?'" Jesus here is referring to two occasions when he performed miracles by feeding thousands of people with small amounts of food. Now here he continues, "How is it that you do not understand that I did not speak to you concerning bread, but to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees?" Matthew then writes, "Then they understood that he did not tell them to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and Sadducees." In the New Testament, leavening is used as a symbol of human pride and the religious teachings that are a result of human pride. On another occasion, a group of Jewish religious leaders approached Jesus and asked him to perform a sign to prove that he was sent from God. These leaders brought up the example that during the time of Moses, food appeared from God, and all the Israelites had to do was go out and gather it. Now, this food back in the Old Testament is called manna. But here in the New Testament, since bread has become a synonym for food, they simply refer to it as bread. So we pick up Jesus' reply in John 6, starting in verse 32. So open your Bibles and let's look at John 6. "Then Jesus said to them, 'Most assuredly I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world.' And they," talking about these religious leaders, "said to him, 'Lord, give us this bread always.' And Jesus said to them, 'I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst.'" Jesus makes a remarkable statement. He says that he is the bread of life. In verse 51 of John 6, he says that if you eat of this bread, you shall live forever. Jesus is the Passover and the bread of life. These are powerful messages contained in the observance of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So why is this annual biblical festival ignored in much of Christianity? Where did the Western world get their present religious calendar? I mean, Easter isn't observed by the New Testament church. Even the name Easter comes from an ancient pagan goddess. The Easter bunny and colored eggs have origins in fertility rites of antiquity and have nothing to do with the death and resurrection of Jesus, the Son of God. Why is it that so many in the Christian community ignore or many times have no knowledge of the holy days outlined in the Old Testament, observed by Jesus and the apostles, and even kept by the early New Testament church? In the next segment, we're going to continue to discuss the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and Jesus is the bread of life. If you would like to study this subject for yourself, order a copy of the booklet we're offering today, God's Holy Day Plan, The Promise of Hope for All Mankind. This guide will help you go through the Bible passages that reveal the important messages that God has for you contained in his religious calendar. We'll be back right after this.
Why does humanity exist? Do you know? Is there a purpose for human life? Or are we only the result of some evolutionary process? What is the fate of humanity? Where are we headed? Are we destined to kill ourselves off through warfare, environmental destruction, or epidemics? Or will we see a future utopia of peace and prosperity for all? The Creator of mankind does have a plan for us, and He reveals it to us through an annual cycle of festivals described in the Bible. It is an astounding plan, offering mankind an incredibly good future. Our free booklet, God's Holy Day Plan, will help you understand the incredible truth about what lies ahead for all mankind. Call 1-800-966-9232 for your free copy of God's Holy Day Plan. There is no cost or obligation. Ask for your free copy today of God's Holy Day Plan. 1-800-966-9232.
Have you had about all the bad news you can take? Maybe you could use some good news. The Good News is a full-color, bi-monthly magazine that brings you the best news you can hear, and always from a biblical perspective. All literature on this program is provided free as an educational service in the public interest by the United Church of God. It is absolutely free, and there is no charge or obligation. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. The magazine is free. The contents are priceless. The number again is 1-800-966-9232. Or visit us on the web at www.ucg.org.
Why are so many Christians ignorant about the Passover and Feast of Unleavened Bread, which was observed by Jesus and the apostles? We have with us today on Good News Radio Larry Walker, a pastor in the United Church of God. Larry, he joins us today via a hookup from Bend, Oregon. Welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. It's nice to be with you.
Let's start right into this. Why do you think so many Christians are basically ignorant of the annual holy days outlined in the Bible?
Well, you know, most people don't question tradition, especially tradition that's enjoyable to them. And people have been told that their present-day Christian customs basically evolved, although that word isn't used, as the early church gained more non-Jewish converts. And since the holy days of the Bible are considered by many to be Jewish, the assumption is that they're not Christian.
You know, I guess a concept many people have is that the annual holy days are Jewish, so they're in the Old Testament, and they're only for those people, and they have no meaning for Christians. Do these days have meaning for Christians?
Well, it's true that the holy days were originally given to Old Testament Israel, but they have great significance to Christians, too. The original historical meanings, in fact, offer types of spiritual realities in the plan of God. For example, God gave Israel the Passover and Days of Unleavened Bread to celebrate His deliverance of Israel from Egyptian captivity. And since the Bible portrays Egypt as a type of sin, Passover and Days of Unleavened Bread commemorate our deliverance of sin by Jesus Christ. And other holy days, Pentecost, which is the New Testament name for what was called Feast of Weeks in the Old Testament, and the Fall holy days centered around two harvest seasons in Old Testament Israel. And details of God's spiritual harvest constitute the New Testament theme of Pentecost and also the Fall holy days.
Are there any New Testament teachings about the observance of these holy days?
Oh, there are quite a few. I'll just mention a few of them. Luke 2:41, for example, tells us that during his childhood, Jesus kept the Passover annually with his parents. John 7, several verses there, reveal that Jesus attended and preached the Feast of Tabernacles the last great day, even despite threats to his life. And as far as the Apostle Paul, in Acts 18:21, we read that Paul prematurely left Ephesus, saying that I must by all means keep this coming feast in Jerusalem. And also in Acts 20, verse 16, it says that for Paul had decided to sail past Ephesus, so he would not have to spend time in Asia, for he was hurrying to be at Jerusalem, if possible, on the day of Pentecost. In fact, the Expositor's Bible Commentary, which is actually commenting on an earlier verse, says, having been unable to get to Jerusalem for Passover, Paul remained at Philippi to celebrate it and the week-long Feast of Unleavened Bread. So the biblical record clearly shows that Paul observed the holy days.
Okay, this is all well and good, but don't the holidays of Christmas and Easter focus our attention more on Jesus?
Well, you know, most Christians assume that they do, but in fact, both of these holidays consist of a composite of pagan customs that originally had nothing to do with Christ. I have in my personal library here a book entitled 4,000 Years of Christmas that documents the pagan origins of Christmas that today are used to relate to Christ. both of these holidays were adopted by Christianity in order to appease pagans. It was after Constantine declared Christianity the official religion of the Roman Empire. Fact is, pagans didn't want to give up their customs, so the church simply compromised on the issue. You know the old saying, if you can't beat them, join them. It might come as a shock to some Christians to know that actually neither day, Christmas or Easter, is even mentioned in the Bible, let alone endorsed or commanded to be observed. I know that there is a mention in the King James Version of Easter in Acts 12, verse 4, but actually that's a mistranslation, which all other translations correct as saying Passover.
Today we've been talking specifically about the Passover and Feast of Unleavened Bread. Now, how does the Passover relate to Jesus Christ?
I think probably the most succinct Bible answer we could give to that is found in 1 Corinthians 5:7, which says that Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. In fact, verse 8 then goes on to say, in reference to the Feast of Unleavened Bread, therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth, which is certainly a New Testament command to keep the Feast of Unleavened Bread.
How does the Feast of Unleavened Bread relate to Christianity? We'll be back to talk more about this subject right after this.
Why does humanity exist? Do you know? Is there a purpose for human life? Or are we only the result of some evolutionary process? What is the fate of humanity? Where are we headed? Our free booklet, God's Holy Day Plan, will help you understand the incredible truth about what lies ahead for all mankind. Call 1-800-966-9232 for your free copy. There is no cost or obligation. 1-800-966-9232.
Are you tired of hearing nothing but bad news? Well, here's some good news. You can receive a year's subscription to the Good News Magazine absolutely free. The Good News Magazine isn't a Pollyannish cover-up of today's problems. It is a magazine that dares to look at today's problems and ask the questions that must be asked. The Good News seeks the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered in the pages of your Bible. Today's radio program is sponsored by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. Your free subscription to the Good News has already been paid. You will never be sent a bill or be obligated in any way. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. That's 1-800-966-9232 for your free subscription to the Good News behind the headlines.
We're back here on Good News Radio, where we've been talking about the relevance of the holy days listed in Leviticus 23 to Christians today. We've been talking with Larry Walker, United Church of God pastor from Bend, Oregon. Now, Larry, in the last segment, we discussed the obvious connection between Jesus and the Passover. What relevance would the Feast of Unleavened Bread have for Christians?
Well, you know, Gary, in 1 Corinthians 5, Paul uses leavening, actually yeast in particular, as a metaphor for sin. Again, Expositor's Bible Commentary is helpful on this. It says leaven or yeast in Scripture generally conveys the idea of evil or sin. The fact that Paul, in fact, even uses this metaphor to a predominantly Greek congregation indicates that they certainly would have been familiar with the custom of putting out leaven during the days of unleavened bread. Otherwise, they'd say, well, you know, what is he talking about? Another book I have in my library, it's a classic work entitled The Life and Epistles of St. Paul by authors Coney Barenhausen. Here's their conclusion. They said, quote, there seems no difficulty in supposing that the Gentile Christians join with the Jewish Christians in celebrating the Paschal Feast after the Jewish manner, at least to the extent of abstaining from leaven at the love feasts. And we can see that Paul still observed the days of unleavened bread at this period of his life. Quite an amazing quote.
But doesn't the Apostle Paul tell us that the observing of holy days is of no importance? Just an example. He writes in Colossians 2:16-17, quote, so let no one judge you in food or in drink or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbaths, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ.
Oh, Gary, I could talk for hours on this passage. In fact, I've given lectures on it on actually more than one occasion. I was confronted with this claim a few years ago, and as a result conducted an in-depth study into the actual Greek text of the passage, and I ended up writing a study paper to detail my findings. the sake of time, I'll just refer you and our listeners to our local church webpage, www.ucgbend.org, where they can read and download this along with another article I wrote entitled Paul in the Holy Days. But also, a little bit later after I wrote it, in the summer 1995 issue of the prestigious Journal of Biblical Literature, this contains an article on Colossians 2:16-17 written by Troy Martin. He chairs the Religious Studies Department at St. Xavier University in Chicago. And his conclusions paralleled mine, with one relatively minor exception regarding a point of Greek grammar. And he also pointed out that inserting the verb is in verse 17, which frankly distorts the meaning of the passage, is grammatically incorrect and impossible in Greek. And speaking of verbs, notice that the text reads that the festivals or holy days, new moons and Sabbaths are, not were, a shadow of things to come. That's actually a very positive statement about these occasions. And actually the bottom line is that, ironically, this passage, correctly translated and understood, is one of the strongest New Testament texts that endorsed the holy days as valid and significant Christian observances.
Now, that address again was
www.ucgbend.org.
Well, thank you. Larry, it was a great honor to have you here on the program today. We hope you'll join us again.
Well, thank you for the opportunity. I've been observing these holy days for nearly 40 years, and I always welcome an opportunity to talk about them and their meaning and importance to others.
Once again, the number to get your free copy of today's booklet, God's Holy Day Plan, The Promise of Hope for All Mankind, is 1-800-966-9232, 1-800-966-9232. This 62-page booklet shows the relevance of these days from the Word of God in both the Old and New Testaments. Back in the first segment, we read from John 6, where Jesus declares himself the bread of life. Now let's return to that passage in John 6. So get your Bibles, and let's this time turn to verse 53. Then Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead, but he who eats this bread will live forever." What did Jesus mean by these statements? Can he really mean that unless a person believes on Jesus as the Christ and partakes of him, then that person can't receive eternal life? Many people will be offended by this statement made by Jesus Christ. Later in the same chapter, John records that many of Jesus' own disciples at that time were offended by these same statements and turned their backs on him. On the night before his death, Jesus assembled with 12 of his disciples to observe the Passover meal, many times called the Last Supper. The next day, he was going to be sacrificed as the Passover lamb. During this meal, he instructs the disciples about the new symbols as Jesus as the Passover. Matthew records Jesus' teachings in Matthew 26, starting in verse 26. "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' Then he took the cup and he gave thanks and he gave it to them saying, 'Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins.'" The New Testament claims that Jesus is the Passover Lamb of God. Why, then, do so few Christians actually observe the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread? Why have so many abandoned the annual religious observances of the Scripture and replaced them with holidays whose origins are in dark, non-biblical antiquity? We must answer these important questions if we truly want to understand and follow the teachings of the Bible. So call today for your booklet, God's Holy Day Plan. And if you would like to comment on today's program, and we even may read your comment here on the air, you can contact Good News Radio on the Internet by emailing us at gnradio@ucg.org. That's gnradio@ucg.org. And we always appreciate your feedback about the program. Why were you born? There's a big difference between grasping the future God wants for you and simply going on the way you have been. The choice is up to you. Join us next time when we continue to explore what the Bible really says about you and your future. For Good News Radio, I'm Gary Petty.
Why does humanity exist? Do you know? Is there a purpose for human life? Or are we only the result of some evolutionary process? What is the fate of humanity? Where are we headed? Are we destined to kill ourselves off through warfare, environmental destruction, or epidemics? Or will we see a future utopia of peace and prosperity for all? The Creator of mankind does have a plan for us, and He reveals it to us through an annual cycle of festivals described in the Bible. It is an astounding plan, offering mankind an incredibly good future. Our free booklet, God's Holy Day Plan, will help you understand the incredible truth about what lies ahead for all mankind. Call 1-800-966-9232 for your free copy of God's Holy Day Plan. There is no cost or obligation. Ask for your free copy today of God's Holy Day Plan. 1-800-966-9232.
Have you had about all the bad news you can take? Maybe you could use some good news. The Good News is a full-color, bi-monthly magazine that brings you the best news you can hear, and always from a biblical perspective. All literature on this program is provided free as an educational service in the public interest by the United Church of God. It is absolutely free, and there is no charge or obligation. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. The magazine is free. The contents are priceless. The number again is 1-800-966-9232. Or visit us on the web at www.ucg.org. You've been listening to the Good News Radio Program, presented by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. We seek the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered from the pages of your Bible. To receive your free copy of the literature offered on today's program, please call toll-free 1-800-966-9232. There is absolutely no cost or obligation. 1-800-966-9232.